Go to the next one. The cynics may be the loudest voices, but I promise you, they will accomplish the least. And didn't that seem to be true sometimes, that the loudest voices are the naysayers?
Yep.
Go to the next one. Thomas Jefferson, when angry, count 10 before you speak. If very angry, 100. I thought, man, there's some wisdom here. You know, how many of us stop short of 100 when we should keep going? Go to James chapter 3, if you would. We're going to start in verse 1. James 3. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We're going to have a sign up for teachers later. I'm just kidding. You know, it makes you wonder, right? You know, if you're a teacher, it's like, okay, God's got something to say about that. You know, there are, God gives all of us gifts, different gifts to different people. Those who have the gift of teaching, it's a great gift, but we got to be careful of what we say if we're a teacher. I want to recognize somebody here, two somebodies. For those who don't know, the church here, we're led by a spiritual leadership group, and we had a group that we just recently made a change in. Who was on the group was myself and Robin and Larry and Ralph and Mark, John Burke and Bill Gregory. And with Peter and Anna coming, we've changed up our leadership group. And the last two brothers, John and Bill, stepped off the group. And we have Peter and Jay Dietrich stepping into the group. So we really appreciate, we have some great men in the church to lead and to teach. In this leadership group, we have a switch, and we got some of the next generation guys in there. But I want to really recognize John and Bill for their heart and their faithful service to God and the church in the past. So thank you so much to John and Bill for what you have done in the past. We have some amazing brothers that are able to teach in the church here. It's such a blessing. Reading on, James chapter 3, verse 2. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take a ship as an example. Although they are so large, are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, like those two examples, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Yeah. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. This is pretty strong language that we've got going on about our speech. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. You know, I read through that a couple of times in preparation for today, and I'm thinking, this language is so strong. Why so strong? I mean, does it even make sense to me that you would use this kind of language? And we're going to talk about it. Move on to the next slide there. So we got an example God gave us. We got the example of a bit in the horse's mouth, and it moves the whole animal one way or the other. Go to the next one. Then we've got a ship, and there's the rudder in the back. What percentage-wise, that rudder might be what? One hundredth of the ship? but it steers the whole ship. And God says, these are the analogies I have for the tongue, for the speech of a man. Go to the next one. Look at the tongue. What can the tongue do? Well, you know, why is it universal that if you stick out your tongue and put your hands in your ears and go like this, that that's a bad thing? Somehow, you know, it's just universal, you know, that we can use our tongue and our language to be hurtful if we're not careful. Yeah. Go to the next one. So here's what God's got inspired but through James here, that our speech, it's a world of evil. It corrupts the entire person. It's set on fire by hell. It's a restless evil, and it's full of deadly poison. What a resume.
Yeah. Good point.
And it just, if you let that sink in, and I've been letting it sink in for the last week. At the least, it makes me think how much more careful should I be about what I say and what I don't say? And how careless, how easy is it to be careless with our words? And once we say them, once they're out there, they're out there. How many times have you wanted to take that back? I wanted to take back things I've said numerous times, but you know what? You can't take them back. They're out there. They've been said. They've been heard. And I think that's some of the reason why we have these kind of strong things said by God about the tongue and about our language. Let's look at some other verses that deal with what we say and how it works. Here in Psalm 34, verse 12. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days. How many want to desire to see many good days? Who wants many good days in your lifetime? Well, then keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. If you want good days, it matters what you say.
Yep.
Go to the next one. Psalm 39:1. I said, I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. I will put a muzzle on my mouth.
Real?
You know, sometimes you just got to... I'm not going to say it. I mean, you just wish somebody would cover your mouth or you cover your own mouth and just not let that thing out.
Yeah.
How many of us have heard our moms tell us, if you don't have something good to say, don't say anything at all, right?
Yep.
That's not such a bad saying, is it? Go to the next one. Hide me from the conspiracy of the wicked, from the plots of evildoers. They sharpen their tongues like swords and aim cruel words like deadly arrows.
Yeah.
What's the analogy? A cruel word is like a deadly arrow. It's piercing somebody. It's causing harm. We got to take care, don't we? With what we say, what we don't say. Go to the next one. You know, there's six things the Lord hates. Seven that are detestable to Him, and one of them is what? A lying tongue. And at the bottom, a person who stirs up conflict in the community. How do you stir up conflict in a community? It's by what you say.
Yeah.
We've seen that in the news here recently quite a bit, actually. Very sad. We're going to talk about that later, too. Go to the next one. Proverbs 12. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing.
Yeah.
So it's not all bad, right? We can say things that pierce. They're like arrows that are deadly. Or we can say things that are healing. And we get to control what comes out of our mouth in those regards. Go to the next one. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. You know, do we say things that soothe? Or things that crush? And probably all of us have done both.
Yep.
You know, if we're honest, I think we've all done both.
Yep.
And I dare say we've been communicated with both. Right? Go to the next one. I mean, put it to the test for a moment. Stop and think. Can you remember anybody that said something cruel to you that still plagues you? And maybe it was said 10 years ago.
Right.
But it's still hanging around.
Yep.
Can you remember anybody saying something that was soothing to you? And do you remember that? Because you were hurting, and whatever got said to you really eased the burden. I mean, I could think of both. You know, I could think of things that people have said to me that were discouraging, and I can think of things that people have said to me that have been very encouraging. I can also think of the things that I tell myself because of Satan's temptation in my ear that's discouraging. And I can either listen to that, or I can let the Word of God encourage me. And then there's what we, you know, there's even what we write on social media. It's not what we say, but it's similar. What do we post? You know, and the same things apply. Do we post something that's soothing or something that crushes? And I think it's important ever more with social media to be aware of what we say. And when I say say, that includes what we write, what we post. It's important. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. Let that first sentence sink in. You ever had this happen? Sin is not ended by multiplying words. In other words, if you keep going and going and going, it doesn't take away the sin that you started with. Right. Have you ever had anybody just keep talking like they're, and eventually say, stop, you've dug a hole, stop digging. You ever had that conversation with somebody?
Yeah.
It's like, put the shovel down. Okay, stop talking. Hold your tongue, you'd be much better off. If you've seen somebody else doing it, you're sitting there thinking to yourself, stop talking. Oh my gosh, just stop talking. You're making it worse. You should stop. You really should stop. And you may not be telling them that, but you're thinking it because you see this whole thing unraveling. You're like, this is going bad. It's getting worse. The prudent hold their tongues. Go to the next one. So number one today, I want to walk away with some of these verses. We got to get good at times at holding our tongue. We got to get good at holding our typing fingers when we're going to post something. And not just say the first thing that comes to mind. Sometimes that's like the worst thing we could say, the first thing that comes to mind. Don't say or write what's worldly. Let's have a filter. You know, we had a thing with our kids when they were younger, and they don't have this anymore. They've grown up. Amen. But when they were younger, we had this thing we called Bert the Blurt. And it was basically, you say the first thing that comes to mind, you just blurt it out. So we called it Bert the Blurt. And we're like, don't be Bert the Blurt.
Right.
You know, because they would say something, and you're like, that's terrible. Don't say that. And so that's, we gave it a label so that they could recognize it, so that they could work on not doing that. And they don't do that now that they've grown up. Amen. But, you know, it can happen. We can say the first thing that comes to mind. It's just so easy to do, and we don't even realize that what we've said isn't maybe so encouraging. Our words can heal or they can harm.
Yeah.
Let's hold our tongue. Let's have wisdom when we speak. Amen? Here's an example from Alaska for you. Go to the next slide. When we were in Alaska visiting, not everywhere, but many places we went, there was bear safety stuff all over the place. If you run into a bear, because there's bears in Alaska, there's bears in other places too, but they've had some incidents where bears interacting with people, and so they, you know, the idea is if you run into a bear, you should know what to do or what not to do. And number one, you don't run from a bear, counterintuitive, but you don't, because then you become prey in their eyes. So what do? You make yourself big. You're supposed to do this and wave your arms and talk in a low voice and say, "Hey, Mr. Bear, I'm just going to be backing up now." You know, and you try to do these things to try to get out of the bears. What you don't do is run. And we're talking about bear safety, and it's me and Dee and her brothers and their wives. So there's six of us. And we're talking about if we ran into a bear, what are we going to do? What's our bear safety tips? And I just blurted this out. And I wasn't really thinking about it. Dee's still wearing her boot, okay? She's not wearing it now, but she's still wearing it then. I was like, you know what? There's all this bear safety thing. But you know the old adage is you just have to be faster then. And I stopped. And I looked at Dee and I was like, ah! That does not work. So then it switched to, okay, so since you're not gonna leave D, that means you're staying around to fight the barrier, aren't you? And I'm like, yes, I am. Should have held my tongue. Go to the next one. Number two. We need to be slow to speak. You know, that can be hard to do, can it? James 1:19 says, take note of this. Take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Take note of it. Mm-hmm. Write it down. Remember it. Quick to listen, slow to speak. Not the other way around. You know, this takes self-control. This takes practice. It's easy to be quick to respond and slow to listen. You know, there's a saying that maybe you've seen. It says, it basically goes like this. It's like, I'm sorry, did the middle of my sentence interrupt the beginning of yours?
Wow.
Did the middle of my sentence interrupt the beginning of yours? You know, that would be the opposite of this. If we're going to watch our language, we got to be quick to listen and slow to speak.
Right.
You know, is that our practice? Do we understand the importance? All those verses we read earlier should have highlighted the importance for this verse in God's Word. Amen?
Right.
And then lastly, Ephesians chapter 4. Less practical here. I want to read what God inspired here. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. What should you say? Only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. So it'll benefit the person that hears you. That's what we should say. If we could put a filter in that whenever we're getting ready to say, it goes through the, will this benefit the person I'm talking to, filter before it came out, wouldn't that be a pretty cool invention?
Yeah.
That'd be a great invention. I mean, we could make a lot of money for God if we could make that invention and patent it and sell it. So we're going to talk about application here for a minute, taking all these things and say, what's that look like? Okay. There's a story in John chapter 8. Go to the next slide there. We're not going to read the story, but I want to tell you the story. Many of us know it. John chapter 8, Jesus is hanging around. And a bunch of teachers of the law, they bring a woman who's caught in adultery. They bring her before Jesus. And they plop her down in front of Jesus. And they say, Jesus, this woman was caught in adultery. She should be stoned. What do you say? What do you say? And what did Jesus, what was the next thing he did? The next thing he did is he paused.
Yep.
He bent down to the ground. He was squiggling in the dirt. We don't know what. But he didn't speak immediately. They wanted him to give them a verbal response to what they were accusing this woman of. And he paused and he didn't give them an immediate response. And he thought about it. And then he stood up and he said, okay, I got a response for you. Whoever is without sin, you throw the first stone.
Right.
Quick to listen, slow to speak, to benefit those who heard him. Who benefited from what he just said? Everybody in that setting. The woman benefited. Because she didn't get stoned. And all the people that brought her and accused her benefited because they were being hypocritical and self-righteous and they got to step back and see themselves a little more clearly.
Yep.
So because Jesus did what all these scriptures talk about, the woman and all the people, they benefited because he was quick to listen and slow to speak, because he held his tongue and he thought for a moment. And he said something that would benefit those around him. That's what we're talking about. That's what it looks like. What about another situation in Jesus' life? Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. You know, what was one of the tough days? Jesus had some tough days. Probably the toughest was the day where he went to the cross. In that whole scenario of Jesus and his interaction with all the people he interacted with before and even on the cross, there were a lot of injustices done to Jesus as he went to the cross. He was falsely accused.
Yep.
He was treated unfairly. He had a lot of opportunities to respond to the people around him who were mistreating him. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, it says, "He, Jesus, committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When all these people hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly." Jesus had the opportunity to say all kinds of things. But what he did, instead of saying things and being caught up in the worldly cycle of hate and insult and false, he said, "I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to look at things eternally. I am not going to retaliate. I'm not going to drop down to their level. I'm going to be different than the world around me."
Yeah.
And as we know, other accounts where the soldiers watched Jesus die, they saw how different he died. Mm-hmm. Partly what they saw was they saw what he didn't say. Mm-hmm. All the other criminals that were shouting all kinds of nasty things to the crowd and to the people that were crucifying him. And there's all kinds of hate flowing from the crosses of these other guys. But from Jesus, there was nothing like that. And it impacted even the soldiers that said, "This surely was God." Because of even his language, what he said and what he didn't say. You know, in the news, another real life example, Charlottesville, Virginia, there's no way any of us could have missed this in the news, right? Words. Hateful words being used. Causing death, injury, blame. I mean, it's ugly.
Yep.
It's heart-wrenching to hear what's been said and see what's happened. And you've got this whole segment of the population full of hate. Yeah. And their words are hurting. But then you got another group. And I was so encouraged by the way the people that knew the victims responded with compassion and words of healing. And it just blew me away.
Yeah.
And the contrast was so vivid. This is just last week.
Right.
You and I are going to see injustice.
Yeah.
That was injustice.
Yeah.
We're going to see more of it because we live in a fallen world.
Right.
How are we going to respond? What are we going to say? Are we going to be like Jesus and not get caught up in what the world around us has to say about it? Or are we going to say things like Jesus did with self-control? Are we going to say things that heal? Are we going to say things that have an eternal perspective? Are we going to say things where we trust God with the injustice? Are we going to get caught up in the world around us? And it can happen.
Yep.
We're not immune to that.
Mm-hmm.
Do we pray for those who are mistreated? Instead of being combative. You know, Jesus' light shined in the darkness because of how different he handled the situations that came his way. May we also shine in this dark world we live in. Pray for those who have been hurt and the families who have lost people. But don't get caught up in the language that's being used around us of people that don't see things the way God does. We should be different. We should be like Jesus. That should be our goal. That should be our target. Go to the next slide. So this is our target. We're going to pray, have a moment of prayer all individually. We want to have speech like Jesus. We want to say things. We want to hold our tongue when we need to. We want to say things. We want to be quick to listen and slow to speak. We want to say what's only going to benefit those who listen. All things Jesus did. These are the things that he had in mind that we read about in 1 Peter. May we also have these in our mind as we interact with the people around us. People knew Jesus was different by his life, but also by his speech. People will be able to tell who we are by our life, but also by our speech. Let's shine by what we say and what we don't say. Amen. 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 Let's go ahead and take a moment of prayer, and then I'll say a prayer, and then we got a closing song after that.